When I was a boy, maybe 12 years old, I worked with my grandfather. We did cement work, and so all kinds of things, put in a driveway or a sidewalk or replace a garage floor, put in steps. And so there'd be things, and because I was younger, he would just take us to a place and he'd say, okay, dig a hole here. And so we'd start, one of my brothers and I, we'd start digging a hole, and we'd get down maybe 3 inches. And they say, oh, boys, it needs to be deeper than that. So we dig another inch. And then he finally come back and say, you know, this needs to be 3 feet deep, right? There's going to be like a post hole here or something. And we just didn't see the big picture. We didn't know exactly what was going to happen. We were just kind of doing the next thing, that thing right in front of us there. And sometimes it's much more helpful when you think about missions to step back and see what's the overall picture that we're really striving together for. Mr. Perry mentioned this, didn't he, in that hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. There's this day when Christ returns and everyone's going to worship him. And things are going toward that. But in order to come to this better understanding and this thinking about it, I was reminded as I was reading through Psalm 119 recently of the psalmist's desire for understanding. So I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 119 randomly here rather quickly. Verse 73, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Psalm 119, verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verses 33 and 34, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. And often when it comes to missions, I feel like we all want this. We want a better understanding of what the Lord's doing, to see the big picture. Always think of how the Lord ministered with such wisdom and insight, where he would talk to people and they would think they had a particular problem, and he would just open, you know, a wardrobe door to a whole different world of what was going on. And that's because he had this understanding. And I feel like that so often, that we want this wisdom so that we have understanding of the Lord's ways. So one author has said it this way, and I find this so helpful. I often share it. He writes, missions is not the goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It's a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So just that theme, that thought, missions exists because worship doesn't. It really helps you to see, oh yeah, the goal of missions ultimately is for people to worship God. It's calling people to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately for them to worship. But missions is temporary. Worship is eternal. And I think that's often very much more profound than we realize. So Romans 3:23, right? We learn this very early on. It teaches you the fact that you are a sinner, right? That you are born ultimately, and everybody, right? The universality of sin. All have sinned, right? For all have sinned, and it doesn't say all have sinned and are on their way to eternal punishment. It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have you ever pondered that last part of that passage? Like, why does he say it that way? Why does he say they've fallen short of the glory of God? For us, that's a little bit, what exactly does he mean by that? Does he mean that we should be glorifying God all the time and we've lacked that? Or does that mean that we should be reflecting the glory of God and we've fallen short of reflecting God's glory for his glory? But either way, it kind of, like, there's something more going on there, that we always look at the universality of sin, but there's something more that verse is saying, isn't there? Romans 1:21 talks about how all of us are under the wrath of God, and how the wrath of God is being expressed right now in a certain way, isn't it? Like, it's not fire and brimstone coming down. That's not how you expect to see the wrath of God. According to Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed in God turning people over to their sin, in people being allowed to go their own way. And it has this indictment that wrath of God is being poured out because people suppress the truth and unrighteousness, that although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, neither were they thankful. So there again, you have this honor or glory that is due to God that people are refusing to give to him. You have this again, John 17, early part of that chapter. Christ is beginning to pray, and he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you've given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all you have given him." Now, we think of eternal life as escape, right? It's escaping from hell and eternal damnation, eternal punishment. Eternal life, that's the escape of that. But listen to how the Lord explains eternal life. "To give eternal life to all you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The goal and the purpose of missions is so that people know God and honor him as God and give him glory. And this was the Son's mission, to come and reach people and rescue people. So what then is the purpose of your redemption? Okay, this is another verse that you know, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He's talking to people, right? Gentile believers who've come into the church. Peter says to them, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Right? So he describes these things. This is what you are, and you are these things, right? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are these things so that, right, here's the purpose of all that, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. I often give this illustration at my own church. You have what they call a carrier bag, right? You go to a shop and you buy your groceries. So you go to Walmart and they give you these bags. And the bag has these plastic bag, right? It has a handle. It has a little logo on the front. And you see that bag, you know, it's fine. Don't think about it. But you know, you have a sturdy bag like that. But what if I took a bag like that and I slit the bottom of the bag, right? Like, just cut all the way along the bottom of that bag. And here you have this carrier bag, and it has good handles on it, and it has a nice logo on the front. You can clearly see that logo. But the bag really isn't able to fulfill its one purpose, right? I mean, it has nice attributes, but the purpose of the bag is to be able to carry things, isn't it? What is our primary purpose day by day? I mean, your purpose and my purpose is that we may show forth the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. I mean, it's that's simple. How do you do that? How do you show forth his excellencies? Well, you reflect them. My wife was sharing this about communicable and incommunicable attributes, weren't they? These are the ones that are somewhat communicated to us, attributes, perfections of God that we can show by our own being transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is us showing forth his excellencies. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Well, this is the big picture of what missions is about, isn't it? It's not simply about seeing people converted. Yes, we pray for people to be converted. But ultimately, we want to see them not only converted, but showing forth God's excellencies, having lives that are transformed so that they also are reflecting God's glory and how precious he is, that they would spend their life living for him and loving him and serving him. And I think that's your heart for mission, and I think it's helpful for all of us to just step back and say, oh, that's the big picture. That's what we're all after. That's the purpose that you and I are driving towards, seeing people transformed into Christ's likeness. Father, we pray that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we would be able to do all things for your glory. And Father, we know that in many ways we fall short. And so we're thankful for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly represented you and who has become our righteousness. And Father, therefore, we pray that we would endeavor all the more to add to our faith these excellencies, that we would reflect your character as you've revealed yourself in your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.